Jesus said, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life."
The first candle of Advent reminds us of the hope that Jesus brings to us in the darkness of despair. Jesus shines as a radiant light of hope. His coming was foretold by the words of the prophet Isaiah. "The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned."
Long ago in ancient times, the people of Israel lived under the oppression of foreign kings. Their lives were hard and dreary. But God sent his prophets who told the people about the coming of a Messiah, an anointed ruler, the Son of God, who would free them from the darkness of their captivity. The people of Israel began to hope and dream of the coming of the Messiah, who would be called Emmanuel, which means God with us.
As God's people, we still live in hope today. The long-awaited Messiah has come. His name is Jesus. Because of the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus, God is with us. His Spirit dwells within us. We are already being set free. Yet we long for the promised day when the Messiah will return and fully set us free from all strife, sin, sickness, sorrow, and death. In that day, we will live eternally with God and one another in perfect love, joy, and peace.
I'd like to share a few personal notes about today's message. It took place around the time of when Carl Franzen, our pastor, left for an assignment in Whitehall. And we had a interim pastor. Many of you will remember Dave Nichols. And this is an incident that sticks with me all the time. As recently as last week, when the Alpha lesson was on hope. And the scripture today that Sharon read, or the message that Sharon read, is on hope. And so I have a few thoughts that I'd like to share with you about hope in my life. In that time period, maybe 10 years ago, time goes by, I've forgotten exactly when, Sharon and I went to Dallas to visit our daughter. I got off the plane in Dallas, walked down the jetway, and said to myself, "Why is my left knee so stiff and painful?" And over our visit with our daughter, that pain and stiffness grew into something that I couldn't even walk right. And we came home, and it developed into a full body attack of two kinds of arthritis. There were times, many times during that time period, just to illustrate, I was unable to hold an electric toothbrush. It was too painful. I was unable to lift a sheet and pull it one way or the other when we'd go to bed. And every part of daily living was like that. My knees were stiff, every joint in my body, and I was, frankly, at wit's end about it. I have to say during this whole time, though, that Sharon was incredible. I couldn't have dreamed how much care she gave to me during a long period of time of driving and all other kinds of daily living. During that time, I had three doctors. One was trained in China as an Eastern medicine doctor. I had a wonderful Christian physical therapist who worked with me, and slowly some of the pain went away and I was able to have a little more mobility, but certainly nowhere near what I wanted it to be. So I went to Mayo Clinic, and that is an incredible place. I know some of you in this room have gone there. It's an incredible place, learned some things, but they did not have any answer as to why this was going on like this. And we went home with no prescription to change anything other than seeing the doctors and getting treatments and so forth. Sharon suggested to me along the way that I asked Dave Nichols, the interim pastor, to pray for me and to gather some people together and lay hands on me and pray. I had never experienced that, and I said, yes, I will do it. We gathered in the fireplace room back there. Dave talked very, very briefly, just a few sentences, and the men laid their hands on me, and Dave prayed, and we went home. That was an incredible experience, even just that part of it. It was just incredible. It stays with me. It's very alive in me, I should say. Within a few days, there was no pain. I'm sorry. And I had full mobility. I remember thinking when that happened, in just a few days, I was going to ski again. And I never thought that would happen. I think it's fitting that we're here talking about hope. We're here talking about the message centuries ago to the people and the idea of hope for each one of us in this room. And I would say to you, it's no coincidence in my mind, even though the Alpha program is offered at different times of the year, it's no coincidence that last Tuesday's message was on hope. And I watched every scene in the video and kept saying, yes, thank you.
Thank you, Ron and Sharon. What a powerful testimony, Ron. We believe in God's power to heal, and we will pray. We were talking about this in Alpha, that not everyone we pray for gets healed, but more people get prayed for when we pray for people than when we don't. One person, John Wimber, was talking about this, and he said, "We, for many years in our church, we didn't pray for anyone, and no one got healed. Now we pray for many people, and people get healed, and some people get healed." And we believe that God wants to heal. It's the healing, you see, it's a breaking in of God's kingdom. It's some of the future glory, the future wholeness that we'll know in heaven visited upon us right now, today. We believe in the coming of the kingdom of God in Christ Jesus. The kingdom is already present, but the kingdom is not yet fully present. And so we live in that tension between the already and the not yet. Our passage today talks about the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, found in Matthew chapter 1, verse 18 to 23. Matthew tells the story this way. This is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. "The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel," which means God with us. The word of the Lord. Today we are beginning an Advent series, and as I mentioned earlier, we're going to be looking at Christmas songs. The title of this series is A Christmas Carol. And each week we're going to look at a different classic song and delve into the meaning behind it. And we're going to see that they're filled with rich scriptural truths. And they express the dreams and the longings of every human heart. This is why there's something about Christmas that stirs the heart. It's more than just a holiday with tinsel and gifts. But there's something deep within us that yearns for something more. And Jesus is the fulfillment of that. And even those that don't understand what Christmas is all about, who don't know Jesus, sense that longing in their heart. Today our sermon is O Come Emmanuel. And we'll be looking at the ancient Advent song, O Come Emmanuel. A beautiful song written in a minor key that expresses the deepest longings of the human heart. Now, the earliest form of O Come Emmanuel was actually written in Latin and dates back to the 8th century. The tune is a French tune that dates back to the 15th century and was finally translated into English in 1851, but even that was 160 years ago. So this is an ancient song. And in its original form, it was a call and response. The pastor would state one part of it, and the people would respond. Each stanza focuses on the name, a name of Christ that was spoken by the prophets. Names such as Emmanuel, King of the Nations, the Dayspring, the Key of David, the Rod of Jesse, and the Wisdom from on high. Today, we're going to discuss how in Jesus, our Emmanuel, the deepest longings of the human heart are fulfilled. We want to ponder the powerful yearnings in the heart of every human that is fulfilled in Christ, the Son of God, Emmanuel, God with us. And these longings, they found the expression, their fulfillment in Christ, but there's still a further longing for more in our souls. And we'll be looking at that as well, because the longings are only partially fulfilled. And so let's turn to God's Word. This song, O Come Emmanuel, it's artistically beautiful. Yet it's sad. The song is a prayer. And each verse expresses a deep, unfulfilled longing of the human soul. And it cries for this one called Emmanuel to come and fulfill these yearnings. And then each verse is followed by an expression of joyful hope. In the refrain, a confidence that Emmanuel is surely coming. The word Emmanuel is a Hebrew word, and it means God with us. This name was given to Jesus by the prophet Isaiah, chapter 7, verse 14. And it's quoted here in the passage in Matthew that we read just a moment ago. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will be with child and give birth to a son. They will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. We talk about the incarnation. That's a big word. What does that mean? Incarnate is flesh in Latin. Incarnate means in the flesh. This is talking about incarnation is the coming of God in human flesh. In Jesus, God came to earth to redeem us. Through his death, our sins are washed away and forgiven. Through his life, we receive new life. And in Jesus, we can experience God with us right now. God's presence, his love, his peace, his joy. But our redemption isn't complete yet. The fullness has not yet come. We're a new creation on the inside, but we're not all new creation in our entire being yet. Our bodies are still plagued with sin and sickness and ultimately with death. Our world is broken. And so there's these unfulfilled aches in the human heart for the day when all things will be set right. This song captures the mystery of the Christian life because we live in this in-between time. On the one hand, there's an overflowing joy of those who are already redeemed. Our sins are washed away. We've received new life. This has come through Jesus Christ. But there's also a heartache, a yearning for something more, because we're not yet fully redeemed. There's this crying out, and this song expresses those yearnings. And so we're going to look at five yearnings today that are expressed in this song. Each one of these yearnings was a yearning that Israel felt as they were awaiting the Messiah. You know, I've never heard that song, Emmanuel, but in it, it mentioned the 400 years of silence. Did you notice that? What was that? Well, the prophets went silent about 400 years before Jesus was born, and there was no prophet in Israel during that time. But that silence was broken with the coming, first of John the Baptist, and then Jesus, the Messiah. And Israel, before that, but in that time, it was longing for their Messiah to come. And this song expresses that longing, the yearning of Israel. But it also expresses the yearning of the church as we await the final redemption. And it expresses the longing of every human heart. You'll hear in this longings that all humans experience. Let's begin right now with just a moment of silence. Just close your eyes and be still. You want to listen to the first verse of the song as we prepare to delve into its meaning. Come to thee, O Israel. Let's explore, first of all, the longing for home. You know, there's nothing like home, especially after a long absence, if you have a healthy and good home to come back to. That's even truer for a person who's been away from home for many years. When we come, there's a joy that fills our souls, and yet there's also an emptiness that remains. because we're longing for something more, a deeper home. C.S. Lewis once said, "If we find ourselves with a desire that nothing in this world can satisfy, the most probable explanation is that we were made for another world." There's a homesickness in every human soul because there's a true home that we're made for ultimately. This first verse of our song, the poet cries out, O come, Emmanuel, and ransom captive Israel that mourns in lonely exile here. We're in exile here until the Son of God appears. Rejoice, rejoice, because Emmanuel's going to come, Israel. This, first of all, speaks of the longing the Jews had for their homeland of Canaan. The Jews were given a homeland by God in what is now Israel. But because of their sin, they were conquered and they were carted off to Babylon, where they were in exile for many years. And while they were there in that foreign land, they longed to return to their homeland. And this reflects that longing to come home that they experienced. But their exile was more than a physical separation from the land of Israel. There's a deeper spiritual exile. They had been separated from God by their sins, a problem we all deal with as men and women. We're sold into slavery to sin because of our own rebellion, and that's separated us from God. Israel needed a Savior to wash their sins away, to ransom them from not just captivity in Babylon, but more deeply from captivity to sin and death that's the result of sin. Jesus' Savior came and brought that redemption. Our Emmanuel suffered and died to pay for our sins, to wash those away so that we could be reconciled to God. And now through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, we can actually become part of God's family. We can become His children. He becomes our Father. We come home in Him. And a healthy congregation's home. But we still are homesick. Hebrews 11 tells us that we're strangers and exiles in this world. Our home is a place we've never been before. It's the glory of heaven. A lesser known verse of this song says, O come, thou key of David, come, and open wide our heavenly home. Make safe the way that leads on high, and close the path to misery. The Messiah is called the Key of David in Isaiah 22. And then in Revelation chapter 3, verse 7 and 8, that's repeated by John, who says, these are the words, this is actually Jesus speaking himself, these are the words of him who is holy and true, who holds the key of David. What he opens, no one can shut. And what he shuts, no one can open. See, I have placed before you an open door that no one can shut. Jesus alone is the one who has the key that opens our way to our heavenly home to dwell with God. A door that when he opens it, no one will be able to shut. The door of the new heaven and the new earth, where according to Revelation 21, there will be no more mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. We long for this. O come, Emmanuel, and ransom captive Israel. See, Israel refers both to Israel, the nation of Israel, longing for the coming of the first coming of the Messiah, but also to the church, for we are Israel. We've been engrafted into God's people, and we're longing. For we're in exile here. That second coming of the Son. Jesus, in Jesus, our Emmanuel, the deepest longings of the human heart are fulfilled. Next, there's a longing for victory. We all have a longing for victory in our lives. We see this in victory celebrations when a war is won, or when a sporting event is won. Some people cared about the University of Michigan game, who were there in Ohio State game, and I get Kiss Michigan one? Is that the word on the street? And we celebrate. But you know, once the exhilaration of the victory wears off, we're left empty. Because there's a deeper victory that we long for. It's a victory that can only come when the enemies of our soul are conquered. The next verse is all a prayer, and it prays this: O come, thou rod of Jesse, free thine own from Satan's tyranny. From depths of hell thy people save, and give them victory o'er the grave. Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel shall come to thee, O Israel. The rod of Jesse is an image drawn from Isaiah chapter 11, verse 1. A shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse. From his roots a branch will bear fruit. Jesse was King David's dad. And this image is in Isaiah is picturing David's dynasty as this great tree that had been lobbed off. And now there was just a stump. But the prophet says that from that stump, a branch will begin to grow. And he goes on to describe that in verse 2. The Spirit of the Lord will rest upon him, upon this new branch, this new king. And he will delight in the fear of the Lord. With righteousness he will judge the needy. With justice he will give decisions for the poor of the earth. He will strike the earth with the rod of his mouth. With the breath of his lips he will slay the wicked. This new branch that will come forth from the stump of David will have a rod that is a symbol of authority and power coming forth. And with it he will eradicate all evil. And all the enemies of his people. The Jews longed for the Messiah who would free them from the tyranny of their enemies and give them victory. The Messiah, Emmanuel, came and gave them the deepest and truest victory. Now the day will come when God's people will be set free from all earthly enemies, but now the enemies of our soul have been conquered. Satan and sin and death. Satan is defeated. In Christ, we have power over sin. We have eternal life. Yet we still long, don't we? Our hearts still ache. For we still see sorrows in our lives and all around us. We still see death. Wow, how that is accentuated every night in the news. And sin and evil. And we long for the second coming of Christ when all things will be made right. And when, as Paul says, Apostle Paul says, that these mortal bodies will be clothed with immortality. And then, 1 Corinthians 15:54, the saying that is written will come true. Death has been swallowed up in victory. In Jesus, we have victory. And in Jesus, we will have final victory. O come, rod of Jesse, free thine own from Satan's tyranny. From depths of hell thy people save and give them victory over the grave. Let's thank God for the victory that we have in Jesus Christ already today. But also, let this be a prayer for greater victory over Satan in our lives. So, rod of Jesse, powerful God, give victory over Satan and over sin in our lives. And let it also be a prayer of longing for that final victory when Jesus comes again. In Jesus, our Emmanuel, the deepest longings of the human heart are fulfilled. And then there's the longing for vibrancy, for life. You know, when you see a sunrise, have you noticed the stirrings that can happen within? What does a sunrise speak to us of? Well, two significant things. One is the light shining and dispelling the darkness. And there's that hope within us of darkness being dispelled by the light. And then as those rays come up and the new day begins, there's that sense of vibrancy, of vitality, the hope of a new day. But also, it speaks of new life. The prayer in the next verse cries, "O come, thou day spring." Another image of Christ is the sunrise. Come and cheer our spirits by thine advent here, and drive away the shades of night, and pierce the clouds and bring us light. The Bible calls Jesus the rising sun. In Malachi chapter 4, verse 2, "But for you who revere my name, the sun of righteousness," S-U-N, "the sun of righteousness will rise with healing in its wings, and you will go out and leap like calves released from the stalls." This is an image of the sun rising and that sun bringing light and those rays that go forth from the sun bringing healing to us as humans. When John the Baptist was born, his father, Zechariah, prophesied the coming of Jesus in Luke 1:78, and he called him the day spring from on high. He envisions Jesus as his rising sun who overcomes the darkness and whose radiant beams go forth and heals humanity. Israel felt a longing for freedom from bondage to darkness, the curse of death. Emmanuel came and brought this. John 1 says, "In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it." Jesus is the day spring who brings light and life. Yet we still long. We long for the day when the darkness is driven away from our world and from our lives and from our families and from our children and their children. And there's a longing for life that lasts. For the world, the concept of everlasting life and eternal sunshine in the fountain of youth are just fables. But for believers, we understand the Bible has promised that the day will come when we'll receive everlasting life. And these things will be realities. The fountain of life is Jesus Christ himself. And in that day, there'll be no more sin or evil or sickness or death, the things that plague us, but an exhilarating hope of life and wholeness that's promised in every sunrise. The sunrise has come in Jesus, and when he comes again, the fullness of the sunrise will shine upon us. Will come thou day spring. Come and cheer our spirits by thine advent here. Drive away the shades of night and pierce the clouds and bring us light. Rejoice, Emmanuel shall come to thee, O Israel. In Jesus, our Emmanuel, the deepest longings of the human heart are fulfilled. And then there's the longing for peace. One of the deepest longings in the human heart. The word peace in Hebrew is shalom. And shalom refers to peace in every realm of life. A state of flourishing in all of life. Things being the way they ought to be. Flourishing in our relationship with one another. Flourishing in our relationship with God. Flourishing in our relationship with ourselves. You sometimes struggle with your relationship with yourself? Yeah. That's the problem. You can get away, but you can't get away from you, right? That's shalom, when all the brokenness is mended. Imagine that. And so this next verse calls, "O come, desire of nations, bind all peoples in one heart and mind." Shalom. "Bid envy, strife, and quarrels cease. For the whole, fill the whole world with heaven's peace." Rejoice, Emmanuel will come to you, O Israel. The peace of heaven in God's presence, this is a prayer that it might come upon the earth. One of the names of Jesus in the Old Testament is the Desire of Nations. It's found in Haggai chapter 2, verse 7. I will shake all nations, and the desire of all nations will come. And I will fill this house with glory. And in this place I will grant shalom, declares the Lord Almighty. See, not everyone realizes it, but every nation, every person is longing for Jesus. It's the desire of the nations. He's the desire of the nations. And he'll bring shalom. The plain history of the world shows us a world that lacks shalom. Nations fighting against nations for all manner of reasons. People fighting against people. Family members against family members. Neighbor against neighbors. There's been constant divisions amongst people because of our own selfishness and pride. And the crying, the yearning is for the desire of the nations to come and bring shalom and make all quarrels cease. Jesus, called the Prince of Peace by Isaiah, has come. And in him we can find a rest within. Rest from the strife in our souls and a greater reconciliation with people as we're transformed and live in a new way. The day will come when all strife will cease. Isaiah 2:4, he will judge between the nations and will settle disputes for many people. They will beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation will not take up sword against nation, nor will they train for war anymore. Won't that be a glorious day? Come, desire of nations, bind all peoples in one heart and mind. Bid envy, strife, and quarrel cease, for the whole world with heaven's peace. This is a prayer for more peace in our world, for more peace in our lives. In Jesus, our Emmanuel, the deepest longings of the human heart are fulfilled. And finally, there's the longing to understand, to comprehend, to see, to know how to live. You know, we all feel lost at times. Do you feel just bewildered sometimes? You know, why is this going on? What am I supposed to do? Where am I going? Who am I sometimes? Who is God? What is truth? Why does evil happen? Why do I do what I do? We long to understand. We long for direction in our lives, for guidance, for knowing. Our final verse cries, O come, thou wisdom from on high, and order all things far and nigh. Set things right. Get things in order. To us the path of knowledge show, and cause us in our ways to go. Oh Lord, help us have knowledge and wisdom in how to live, but also give us grace to walk in that way. That's two different things, isn't it? Seeing what we ought to do and then doing what we ought to do. We're lost, confused, gone astray. Our minds are darkened. Jesus, the perfect wisdom, the light, comes. He reveals his truth. He shows us the way. He said in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Jesus has shown us the way. He shows us the way through his word. And he's ordering things. He's ordering our lives, getting things back in order. But we still long for more. More in this life. Oh, God, get me right. I pray, Lord, may I grow up before I die. I used to pray, Lord, may I grow up before I grow old. Now I have to, you know. I'm not old yet, but you know, I'm kind of pushing it a little bit. Lord, let us see. O come, thou wisdom from on high, and order all things far and nigh. To us the paths of knowledge show, and cause us in her way. rejoice, Emmanuel shall come to thee, O Israel. He's coming. He's come, and he's coming. Every verse in this song is a cry for more of Jesus now. It's a cry for him to come soon and complete what he's done, what he's begun. And Jesus, our Emmanuel, the deepest longings of the human heart are fulfilled. How should we respond to these profound scriptural truths that are expressed in this beautiful song? When you're longing for life, love, and peace, turn to Jesus. For he alone can fulfill these deep longings. It shouldn't surprise us that the answer to the deepest yearnings of our soul comes from the one who created our soul. That the deepest stirrings in your inner being, they're profound, are stirrings that come from the Spirit of God. The song is a cry of longing. It's the Holy Spirit in this longing and yearning. For non-believers, the Holy Spirit can be there at work as well, causing this yearning. And Emmanuel has come, and he's begun to set things right. But the full fulfillment of those longings remain in the future. It can be more. We can receive more of Jesus' fullness and peace and love and life right now. And we'll always long for our heavenly home, when the kingdom of shalom will come from heaven to earth. Here's some questions I want us to ask. First of all, just ponder this. You just might want to close your eyes just for a moment and just ask, what are the deepest longings of my heart? What are you longing for? What are you yearning for? And ask yourself, these are all in your bulletin. You can look at these questions later in a quiet time. But how can you turn to Jesus? Turn to Jesus this Advent season to fulfill those longings, rather than turning to the things that we as substitutes for life and love and peace. And also, are you rejoicing in the Lord's work in your life right now? And finally, this song, O Come Emmanuel, is a prayer. So in a time of prayer this week, pray this prayer aloud for yourself and for those you love. And the whole, all seven verses we talked about today are in your bulletin. And as you pray it, acknowledge your longings to the Lord. Just let him know, yes, Lord, I'm longing for your wisdom. I'm longing for your peace. I'm longing for the sunrise to shine in my life and dispel the darkness. Give thanks for how God has fulfilled these. Open your heart and look to him to fulfill those longings in your heart. Lord, this is our prayer, that we will look to you and not to idols, to false gods, to fulfill the deepest yearnings of our heart. Let us recognize that these profound yearnings that stir within us are real, and they are from you, and you've provided the answer in Christ Jesus. Oh, let us grab hold of you and look to you. We rejoice for Emmanuel. Jesus, God with us, has come to us, your people. And we rejoice because Emmanuel will come. He'll come in the future days of our life here on earth in a greater fullness as we seek you as individuals, as we seek you as a congregation. As we seek you in our families, you will come in greater fullness. Emmanuel will come to you, O Israel, God's people. And he will come again and fulfill those deepest longings in a way that's so stirring and profound and wonderful and amazing that we can't even imagine it. Let us live in the light of that glory that is to come, we pray. In Jesus' name. O come, Emmanuel shall come to thee, O Israel. Let us come before the Lord in worship as we sing this song. And as we sing this song, let it be our prayer that the Lord will indeed stir and do his work. Lord, we look to you, we long for you, and we let this song express those longings of our heart and our prayer. Let's all stand as we sing. Lord Jesus Christ himself, and God our Father, who loved us and by his grace gave us eternal encouragement and good hope, encourage your hearts and strengthen you in every good deed and word. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.